From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCullum. In the 1860s, Wisconsin was by far the biggest producer of hops in America. Hops is the ingredient that helps flavor beer, but problems with disease wiped out the hops industry by 1920. Now, some Wisconsin producers are growing hops once again, and our guests are helping provide advice. Carl Dooley is an agricultural UW Extension agent from Buffalo County, and Tim Rabine is the UW Extension agricultural agent in Vernon County. They've held workshops for people interested in growing hops. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis asked Carl Dooley to describe what hops are.
Well, a hop is a perennial that needs to be grown on a trellis, and it the part that we're harvesting is the flower, look like cones, used for flavoring and bitterness in beers and also a few emerging other uses.
Tim, could you describe what hops look like and how they grow? You talked about the fact they grow on trellises, how they're harvested, how they're stored, and how long is the shelf life for hops?
When you first see them growing on the plant, they almost look like immature pine cone in terms of their shape and initial look when they're green. But that's probably where the similarities end. The hop cone is a very, what I'll call, light, fluffy structure. It's the unpollinated flower of the female plant. And one of the things for quality and what the brewmasters always look for would be seeds in the hops. Seed in the hop cone indicates that there's a male around somewhere that fertilized that cone, and that's not good. Technically, what we're harvesting is a cone off of this vine, not a vine, and I'll explain that in a little bit, but they pick the cone when it reaches a certain age, if you will, which is typically later August, first part of September. Very simply, that cone has to be dried and then packaged in order to preserve it. The plant itself is pretty funky. It has to go upwards, and when you wrap it on twine in order to get it to grow up, we've learned that if it's perfectly straight up, it doesn't produce as much yield as if it would be at a slight angle. And this plant is extremely sensitive to sunlight. It responds and does many things because of the sunlight. For one of the reasons, when you're training this hop plant, you have to wind it clockwise on that string in order for it to grow. You do it the other way, and you mess that plant up. Why they call it a bine versus a vine. For example, grapes, that's a vine. A hop plant, they call a bine because the true definition of a vine is it has to have a tendril on it that will grab something and support itself. Well, the hop plant does not have tendrils, so technically it can't be called a vine. So they call it a vine. As this plant is starting to grow, what keeps it on the twine is on the main stem, there's a bunch of these microscopic little hooks, and that's what hooks onto the twine and supports it as it's climbing up the trellis. Planting is typically done with rhizomes. We do not plant seed. We get rhizomes from a supplier, and they're planted in the ground in the spring of the year, and they start growing that year. We don't get much of a crop that first year, but by the second year, that plant will be growing up 16 to 18 feet. Got to have our trellis there, and we'll start to get cone production.
Tim, once they are harvested and dried and stored, do they have long shelf life?
A lot depends on the quality as to when they were harvested. Hopefully they get harvested in the right stage. And as soon as they're harvested, within hopefully 24 hours, we need to get them dried down to 8 or 9% moisture, which is very dry. And after that 24 hours, we get them that dry. They are allowed to sit for 24 hours just to kind of adjust a little bit internally with its moisture contents. And from there, they need to go into oxygen-limiting barriered containers. If you're a home brewer and you're growing some, you're going to probably put them in Ziploc freezer bags and try and get all the oxygen out of them. The other key is as soon as they're packaged, they should be refrigerated or throw them in the freezer. With those key steps, you can probably, you know, keep them, you know, for a year or two. What you got to remember is oxygen, exposure to oxygen will degrade the quality of the active ingredient in hops, which happens to be something called lupulin. Lupulin is the active ingredient. If you'd ever see a hop cone and you start pulling off the little leaflets off that cone, at the base stem of that leaflet, you're going to see what almost would look like pollen. And that bright yellow compound is the lupulin that is what the beer makers are after.
Carl, they are an important part of the beer-making process, are they not? And just how are they used in beer-making?
I'll explain first. I'm not a brewer, but there's several different ways that they're used, depending on the flavor compounds that the brewmaster wants for that particular beer. That will be determined by the variety that's used. It'll be determined by how much they use and at what stages that the hops are added. And there's a whole degree you can get in brewing sciences to help with that. But in many of our lighter beers that are consumed in the United States or in Wisconsin, there's added mainly in the mash and maybe used for a short time in the mash before they're removed again. Some other of our stronger, hoppier beers will be used. They may hop them three different stages throughout the brewing process. And Tim mentioned the lupulin and the amount of lupulin and the type of acids that are in the lupulin determine just how hoppy that beer can be and how much they will add to the brewing process. There are some charts and actually computer software that brewers will use to determine how much to add based on the analysis of the hops. And then there's also that would be the science part, and then there's the art of brewing that brewmasters will use to get the type of flavors that they want. And the hops made up both of the acid, and then there's essential oils that are in the hop cone, which a lot of times will give it different flavors, whether it's a citrus flavor or a pepper-like flavor, and it's a whole array of different types of flavors that brewers can use depending on what the final product is that they want.
Tim, can hops be used for anything else besides beer?
The majority of them do go into the beer. I do know of some folks that will make a hop tea and get the flavor out of the hops just with that hot water. I've talked with a couple folks that have tried that, and they did say you do have to have a fair amount of honey around, because along with some of the flavorings comes that bitterness, and they have to add some honey to it. And then there's hop asparagus. Early in the growing season, when the hop plants are coming out of dormancy, they do somewhat mimic asparagus in that they start sending up the early growth or spikes. And the very first growth that comes out of the ground with hops typically are not used for the production that year. And most of the time, they're cut off. Well, you can take those spikes and actually cook them and eat them as asparagus.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the potential for growing hops in Wisconsin. Hops are a key ingredient in beer making. Our guests are Tim Rabine, an agricultural extension agent from Vernon County, and Carl Dooley, an agricultural extension agent from Buffalo County. Carl, how in demand are hops around the world?
Like all commodities, there's a tremendous variability from year to year in price. And Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but about 4 years ago or so when we started this project, there was a tremendous spike in the cost of purchasing hops due to in part to a major fire they had in a storage facility in Washington State. But in a couple of years, the market had picked up and the price had come down considerably from that point. I think most of our producers are looking at this point and not competing on the that type of market, the world-type market, but more with a buy-local type of attitude with breweries, looking at, an all-Wisconsin brewed product or maybe even an all-Buffalo County or all-Vernon County produced product and getting those unique flavors from locally grown hops in brewed products from Wisconsin. I think that's more the market that's currently being looked at.
Tim, what parts of the country or of the world are large producers of hops today?
In the United States, it's the Pacific Northwest. There are huge hop ranches out there. We were able to tour one of those ranches as part of some professional development Carl and I did, and it is quite amazing to see the size of scale of hop production in the Pacific Northwest. These hops are grown in regions where they get 7 inches of rain a year. And as we were talking to one of the growers, he said rain out there is just kind of a nuisance because you just plan on doing whatever you're going to do every day. Well, so everything is irrigated. And that entire region up there is just heavy in production, very large scale. And I know prior to Budweiser selling out, there was quite a bit of large growers out there that would deal directly with Budweiser. And now that they're owned by InBev, there's some structural changes taking place. The other major, what I'd call growing region in the world is going to be the Hallertau region, which is just north of Munich. They produce a tremendous volume of hops. Coming back to the U.S., there's actually what I'll call this specialty hop production that is really picking up in many other states. New York, Vermont, Michigan, Minnesota, there's growers in South Dakota. Many of these smaller niche producers are really gaining in popularity.
As part of a grow local component, you think there is a market for it here in Wisconsin?
Based on the functioning of the two cooperatives in Wisconsin that are involved in hops, and there's a private entity that is also directly involved in hops, they're seeing a tremendous growth in hop demand. And we were at a producer meeting this last spring, and that's where a representative from Wisconsin Hop Exchange, a cooperative, basically said, we're sold out, we need more hops. And that doesn't mean you can just go out and grow any kind of quality hops. You got to be, a little more understanding of what varieties to plant, and you got to produce a good crop. But that's a market signal that says we will take on more hops.
Carl, in the 1800s, Wisconsin was a major producer of hops. Talk a little bit about that hop growing history and why the state got away from growing hops.
Basically, it was like several of the other industries in the West, some disease issues that sprung up long before we had fungicides available and understood a lot about the disease issues, and sprung up and just decimated the crop. And the crop is similar to what grapes did. They moved west to drier climates where they didn't have as many of the issues with disease as they did. And today with fungicides, just as in the Pacific Northwest, we have some tools available to help control some of the disease problems with the hops.
Compare hops to some other crops, Carl. Is growing hops a more lucrative venture?
Well, right now, time will tell. It's a new market, and it's a potential growing market. But I think the jury is still out as far as potential income. I think with like with any specialty type market, the higher quality and the better marketer that you are, the more potential there is for profit. And it's one of the things that when we were first doing introduction to hop meetings is that this isn't like growing other commodities where there's a ready and waiting market for you. You have to develop the market. You have to sell both yourself and the product that you're producing, and you have to produce the quality and the varieties that brewers want. There's a real connection that needs to take place with the growers and brewers before we'll know for sure just how far this market will go, and to determine what kind of profits that a grower can look at. That connection has to be made, and that trust has to be made between the growers and the brewers, and I think the industry, this new growing industry, is doing a lot to help that relationship form, but there's still some work to do, and especially with individual growers.
I know both of you have been involved in workshops in the last few years on growing hops. Carl, could you talk about the interest from farmers? Just how would you categorize the industry?
I think the first year that we did the seminar, we had like 130 people show up, which kind of surprised us. And a lot of them were looking for a crop that that wasn't, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were looking for a crop that that maybe we could stick in, wasn't a lot of work, we could make a lot of money. There was a certain amount of room with the idea of growing hops and local beer, et cetera. Now, the last couple of years, our attendance is still very, very good. I think last year at our March seminar, we still had over 125 people, but they're more dedicated, real interest in actually growing this industry. And we did a survey of growers from a list of contacts that we have and from the other organizations throughout the state. And we had about 65 people respond to our survey. There was about 60 actually had hops in the ground that were on somewhat of a commercial scale. And they were really looking at, the average was less than an acre. And they were really looking at taking the number of acres from somewhere around 50 right now to, we had them estimate that 2018 where they would be at. And it reported total with these same producers would be at about 300 acres in just a few years. So there is the industry is interested in growing. There is demand right now. I think the organizations that are out there, the co-ops and the private organizations that are producing hops, are doing a good job of marketing. They're establishing those relationships, which it'll take. So, yeah, I think there's some real positive growth that will happen in the industry over the next few years.
Do we have statistics on the number of farmers growing hops now in Wisconsin?
Well, we have just the survey data. We don't have a complete list of everybody who's growing. And we had at the time of this survey, which was early in 2013, we had 32 that were growing respondents that were growing hops, and commercially, and another 16 that were doing it more as a hobby with just a few plants.
How about your counties or the general region, the southwestern Wisconsin region? How many producers, can we count them on one or two hands?
We don't know them all, and I'll respond like from Buffalo County North. We have several producers. Probably the largest one is around 3 acres currently, and then there's a few producers that are a quarter acre, maybe a little bit larger, that are in here and let's say River Falls. And I know of a few that are in La Crosse and Monroe County. It's catching on there. A number of people have a few hops in the ground, just seeing if this is a crop they want to expand on. Tim, down your way?
There's a couple what I'll call commercial hop producers in the area, and I know that there's a couple of what I'll call larger producers when you get a little further south to Grant County, and then heading east, there's a few growers. I would have to say that based on some of the attendance and interest, there seems to be a fairly good interest in hop production in Marshfield, Marathon County, and I'm seeing, I don't have any data to back this up or research, but it's kind of in that ginseng belt that there's folks that, when I talk to them from that area and we start talking trellis, they'll say, oh, I know how to build trellis. I used to grow ginseng. I think there's a couple folks up there that are retrofitting a ginseng dryer to do hops, and there's that kind of interest there. I know there's a concentration of growers down in northeast of Madison area, and there's a few over in the northeastern Wisconsin. So it's fairly well spread out.
So it sounds like there's potential for a lot of growth, but farmers, for the most part, are not quite sure if this is the way to go.
That's where some of the needs of some research are coming in, to try and answer some big questions. One of them is disease, and with the fact that disease was one of the culprits that ran it out back in the 1860s, we have growers that are been growing for 4 or 5 years that are having to learn how to control disease. Amanda Gibbons, who is our UW Extension plant pathologist specialist, has really stepped up and is leading a project to get on-farm research going, working with growers to try to determine what is the disease that is the most prevalent, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be downy mildew, but trying to take a look at control methods and working through the whole economics of that challenge.
How many years are we away from this study being completed?
We are just getting started with that study because of what I'll call the cycle with the grant funding that came in with that. So it'll be growing season next year when we're going to first be able to start initiating some of that project.
Tim Rabine is Vernon County's UW Extension Agricultural Agent, and Carl Dooley holds the same position in Buffalo County. They spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about efforts to grow more hops, a key ingredient in making beer. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You'll also find extended interviews and photos. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.